This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Lovie Smith, the defensive coordinator for the Texans, he had a role in pissing off a former NFL coach at an all-time level. I did not know this, but ArizonaCardinals.com, best team in the NFC right now, J.J. Watt's home, DeAndre Hopkins home. They're doing Cardinals folktales. It's a pretty cool series where they just go back through history. They interview past players, coaches, and it's not like this moment that got us to the Super Bowl. It's like the behind the scenes type of stuff.
Well, just sort of like things you did, you know, you were curious about. Now you know. You know, how did this all happen?
We know the Dennis Green rant, one of the best rants of all time. It lives on even after Dennis Green passed away. And Lovie Smith had a huge role in this. I did not know this until I watched this. And I enjoyed getting the background on Throwback Thursday of one of the most epic rants of all time. And it can be tied back to the man who was overseeing the defense out there on Kirby. Let's start, courtesy of ArizonaCardinals.com, with just the background on the third preseason game. Because Dennis Green goes up there and he says something that really wasn't clear at the time. Third preseason game, who treats that like bull bleep?
Yeah.
This is the background on what Dennis Green was talking about after his team blew a 23-3 lead late in the third quarter to Lovie Smith's Chicago Bears squad.
There's a reason Denny Green said, who takes the third game of the preseason like it's blank. The Cardinals played well in the third game of the preseason in Chicago. The first three quarters, they outplayed the Bears.
Anytime you play the third preseason game, that's like the practice. That's like the real dry run, if you will, before the regular season starts. And so we went up to Soldier Field and we smacked them around pretty good.
All right, so the third preseason game, Arizona obviously young. They got Matt Leinart. They're trying to get something started. And they're trying to hang their hat on the third preseason game. And they're saying the Chicago Bears played their starters.
Did the same thing.
We played our starters, and this game means something.
And obviously not the case anymore, but at the time, third preseason game was like the dress rehearsal.
Lovie Smith did a conference call with the Arizona media, and this is where Dennis Green started getting fired up and Dennis Green started getting pissed off. And I think the fuel that led to the fire that we saw at the podium and heard at the podium, this right here, this sound from Lovie Smith, is what led to Dennis Green being so ticked off historically here on a Throwback Thursday.
We got Lovie Smith on our conference call that week, and you know, Denny had kind of talked about, you know, hey, we played them in a preseason, we played pretty well. We can play with this team, even though at this time the Cardinals were 1-4 and the Bears were undefeated. Lovie Smith was asked about it.
This is the first time we would have played them, as I see it. The preseason games are important. They're glorified practices to me.
And I think that got under Denny's skin a little bit.
I think that's important to know and to understand that that Denny was probably a little disappointed when Coach Smith said, that preseason game didn't mean as much to us as it seemingly did to you.
Now, that last voice is Mark Dalton, the PR guy for the Cardinals, who you hear at the end of the rant saying, thanks, Coach.
Now, when you get to the rant, I think it's it makes a lot more sense.
Yes. Yes.
What he actually said.
That's why this is so cool.
Yes, this is so cool.
So you hear Lovie Smith there, Lovie Smith saying that. And he's basically saying, all right, little brother, hang your hat on that. We weren't really trying.
Preseason,
we'll
practice.
See you here. Yeah. So the game happens. We won't go through the game itself, but the Cardinals were up 23-3 with 3 seconds left in the third quarter. Matt Leinart goes back to pass. Boom. He's hit. Scoop and score. 23-10. The defense scores again. Then Devin Hester scores the go-ahead touchdown. Arizona misses a field goal, and they end up losing. So when they go to the locker room, this is where you get some more background information on this. So we know the foundation of Lovie Smith and why Dennis Green was ticked off. This is what it was like in the locker room, and this is former Cardinals defensive lineman Bertrand Berry talking about what the scene was like before, because the coach goes in the locker room, he talks to the team before he goes to the podium. This is what the scene was like, and he's going to do a little Dennis Green reenactment of what he told
good,
the team after he did this, but this is what it was like 10 minutes before Dennis Green went to the podium and said what he said.
We all come back to the locker room, and to know Denny, he had his shirt undone, his shirt was untucked, he didn't have a hat on, and those were two things that you never saw with Denny. You never saw him without a hat, and you never saw his shirt untucked. And he was kicking this green Gatorade cup, you know, those green Gatorade paper cups? He just was kicking this one, you know, on the ground. It was eerily quiet, like I'll never forget it. He said, I don't want anybody saying anything to the media, because when I get in there, I'm going off.
Then I don't want anybody saying anything to the media, because when my ass gets in there, I'm gonna go ape.
And I was, whoa, what? You know, to hear him talk like that, for him to be so angry, like he literally sat there and kicked that cup for at least 5 minutes.
So he's got the shirt untucked, he's got the hat off, he's kicking a Gatorade cup, and he says, men, when I go in there, I don't want you to say anything, because I'm going to go ape bleep.
And a hell of a good, impersonation of him there as well. And, just keep listening, because this is where I went, oh, that's why he kept saying that.
So keep the the Lovie Smith comment in mind about the third preseason game, and keep all that in mind. So he goes up to the podium, and it's pretty non-eventful. I don't even remember the beginning of the press conference, because mm-hmm. I think I only saw like the sound. I was watching Monday Night Football, and I know on SportsCenter they cut to it afterwards, because this was back when Tirico was there.
Yeah.
But it was actually non-eventful. Here is Mark Dalton and other guys talking about just how this press conference started before Denny Green blew a fuse.
I don't think I've ever been associated with a loss where it was kind of clear that the offense couldn't score a touchdown.
People started asking questions about hard stuff, and he answered like it was any other game.
I think anybody watching this game is surprised by the ending, and you never should be surprised in a game of football. All the way right down to the last 40 seconds.
So there you go. That's calm.
Yeah.
Like, he's just up there chilling. He's
calm. It's percolating, though. It's percolating.
But then an unfamiliar face, a freelance writer by the name of Mark Brown. I think he was doing some stuff for the newspaper up there in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he asks the question, and that's what leads to the most epic rant of all time, which Lovie Smith, remember Lovie Smith minimizing the preseason, because I think that's important for context. Mm-hmm. This is what happened when Ish hit the fan with the assistance of Lovie Smith.
I was not a Cardinals beat writer, so I'm not here every day for practice or for games. So I didn't know Dennis's personality or how he would respond. I thought the Cardinals defense played extremely well that night, and that was going to be the focus of my sidebar, and that was the essence of the question.
Coach, four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? Would shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
The emotion sort of keeps escalating.
We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field.
I kind of like putting my head down. I'm like, oh God, this is going to be a big deal.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
when he pauses, we better shut this down. We better not let another question keep this thing going.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
So that's Mark Dalton. So this is the other element of this that I didn't know about, and I didn't even know this existed. Mm-hmm. So just imagine this going on, and John Harris has to interview Dennis Green right after. Because ArizonaCardinals.com, they had an interviewer who's waiting for him right outside the door after this rant. So as soon as he punches the table and he walks out and you hear, thanks, Coach, the John Harris or DP Sadu or Drew Doherty or whoever of the Arizona Cardinals has to interview Dennis Green immediately after.
Not the best assignment.
It's awkward for them because they work for the squad and they gotta get him right after that, especially after the game. Here is the audio that I didn't even know existed and the mindset of that ArizonaCardinals.com employee.
I was on the other side of that door. And all I had the knowledge of was our producer, Jim Omohundro, in my ear saying, oh boy, Coach just knocked over the podium. He's bleeping bleep, and here he comes. And sure enough, the door opened. And if you go back to that radio interview, he almost said verbatim what he said in his epic rant, minus the volume.
The Bears are what we thought they were. Let's be like, we played them in the third preseason of the game. They played their first team for three quarters. We played ours for first three quarters. They are what we thought they were. If you want to make them more than that, everybody can. The Bears are exactly like we thought they were.
So there you go. You get that exclusive right there.
That was like only on their broadcast. Here's the thing. Why did he say that so many times in the press conference and so many times in the in-house interview?
Because Lovey treated him like a little brother, rubbed him on the head.
That was because of Lovey Smith.
Lovey Smith has a significant hand in this.
In other words, they thought they knew who they were after the third preseason game when they kind of pushed him around. And then they pushed him around again until Rex Grossman, former Texan, by the way, started fumbling the ball around.
Lovie Smith, hand in history. And sometimes whenever you have like a historic career, you're known for something that you probably don't want to be known for. There was actually a commercial after this. I think Dennis Green started actually embracing it. In fact, Dennis Green would tell people, they were saying on ArizonaCardinals.com, and it's Cardinal Folktales if you want to check it out. It's really cool. He was saying that was doctor's orders for him to do that because he was struggling with stress, so it was good for him to get it out.
Let it go.
That's what Dennis Green was telling him. And when Dennis Green died, Mark Dalton, the PR guy for the Arizona Cardinals, you want to talk about being known for something? At the very top of the funeral program that was handed out when Dennis Green died in 2016 was one line.
Sadly, Denny passed away in 2016. And a number of us went to San Diego to his funeral service. And the program of the funeral service was really well done. And like many, it had his picture on the front and the program and the songs and the scripture readings. But on the back page of the program, it had famous Denny Green quotations. And I think there were 8 to 10. But the very first one in the program at his funeral was, "They are who we thought they were."
That's how you own it. That's how you lean into it. That was awesome. And just a beloved guy, man. I mean, Dennis Green. Hard luck as a head coach because it wasn't just that game.
God, Gary Anderson missing that field goal against the Falcons. I wanted the Vikings to play the Broncos so bad.
I was in the end
so
zone.
So bad.
I was in the end zone for that one.
Really? Yep. And that was his first miss of the year.
Yep.
Damn, and then the Dirty Birds go there. You knew they were going to get asked by the Broncos. They
He's
did.
A hard luck head coach.
Cheated me. You freaking cheated me, Gary Anderson. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Jim Mudd in for Figgy Figs. The Throwback Thursday, Lovie Smith's role in one of the best rants of all time. Coming up, no baseball season? Say it ain't so. Or is it just fake news season? Next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
No baseball season. That ain't happening.
No, it's not happening. Not happening. They'll have the season. They'll settle this thing. They'll work out a couple of things here and there, and that'll be that.
Did you live without Astros baseball?
Nope. Not right now. Not right now. I mean, there's nothing else. All due respect.
Nothing good.
The Rockets and Texans. Nothing good going on right now.
I don't know if the Texans deserve your respect. You can say all due.
I said all due respect.
Yeah, all due respect to the Rockets. Texans don't really deserve it right now. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. But this labor stoppage and stuff, I'm sure there's going to be like a pissing match where the players' union's already releasing statements, Rob Manfred saying all this. Of all the times to like keep something in-house, this just seems like the time where keep that behind closed doors. Because I get leaks sometimes when it comes to negotiations and when it comes to stuff, but I just don't know anyone who's hearing it. And maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know anyone who's like hearing the owner speak and then the player speak and saying, you know what, they got a really good point. It's pretty cut and dry what this is about. It's a turnoff.
And they can't afford it. Baseball, like the NFL, they can play hardball with players, and they can have strikes and lockouts and everything else, because then they know fans are always going to come back. Fans always come back to the NFL. It always grows. The ratings this year are as good as ever. The money is as good as ever. It's just always going to have, they have that leverage. Baseball doesn't have the leverage, man. Not with fans.
And I don't know that football does. I just know that football hasn't really made bad decisions like this. Like, football's done a good job of handling their business. I think the owners have pretty good control. I think it most resembles the real world football. And I think baseball is out of control. I think the NBA is even more out of control. I think the NBA has gotten to a point where players are basically turning this into pickup basketball, where they can just play wherever they want. They have the guaranteed contracts. There's a lot of extra stuff that comes with the NBA. Mm-hmm. Baseball's already had one of the most historic labor stoppages of all time. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot going on. Like, the Expos could have maybe won a World Series like in 94. Like, mm-hmm. that was a hell of a team. And now baseball is doing it. I think if football started handling itself like baseball, I think maybe this could happen. But I think football, the structure and everything is just so perfect.
But
that
the structure
it's
is
not
their
happening.
To me, their structure is their leverage, because they just have the Players Association in the NFL over a barrel, and the players know, man, no matter how long, the only thing that's going to happen when we're out is we're going to lose a lot of money. Because fans are always going to come back with the next generation. That's not the case with baseball, and that's why they're so dumb right now, because they're losing fans at a time when they don't need it.
And it's, again, that's probably more of a national problem than a regional thing.
Yes.
Because Astros are not in there no matter what. They got the sweat equity to where it happens. But all of this labor stuff and whatnot, I've never really been a guy who, and it's not that I don't care about players, it's not that I don't care about owners and stuff. I like when I start hearing players say we want this, like even when JJ Watt was talking about we don't want this many, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like just let me know when you're playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
Let me know about the offseason stuff. I don't care about that. So y'all handle that.
Yeah.
Y'all handle that.
And I think most fans are like that, except when you already have been losing the tech. That's what I think. That's my bigger point. The NFL is not going to lose fans. How many times have you thought, okay, this is going to, no, it doesn't. Whether it's on the field or off the field, I'm never going to watch an NFL game again. Well, they are. I mean, they are. And baseball, when baseball loses fans, a pretty good percentage of the fans they lose interest. And that's a big problem.
Do you think it's also a little bit different? And I don't know. You can speak to this much more than me, because you were an adult when this was happening. But like in 1994, like when baseball went on strike, What were things like economically and whatnot, and with all this stuff going on, to where, whether it's just all, the amount of news and just toxic stuff that we put in our head, like on a daily basis, the economic struggles that many face, like, was it the same in 94 as it is now? Cause maybe it's because I was at a certain age there where it was just like, this stinks, blah, blah, blah. But I wasn't dealing with the real world. Is the world different now to where people could be more put off with the work stoppage?
I think they were probably more put off then. First of all, baseball had a stronger hold on its place, than it does now.
Now, when you say put off, do you mean like more put off?
Worried.
Like worried, like, oh my like more concerned and stuff.
Yes, and okay. that's why that baseball lost. See, they lost a lot of fans in 94 because it was the big headline every day. You know,
I remember.
It was front page headline, and it lasted for a while. So they actually lost a lot of fans. And to be honest, and Jim mentioned this before the show, and it was actually a great point. Steroids saved them then. I mean, the steroid era came in right after the walkout and the lockout.
I miss the guys looking like WWF wrestlers and dropping 500 footballs.
They needed an injection of energy and some interest because they had lost so many fans. Economically, I mean, obviously it wasn't like it is now, but, you know, in terms of the dollars being spent, but it was more than fine. It was doing great, but it just lost so many fans because they just got turned off by the actual strike. And so it's been on really fragile footing ever since. You know, then there comes the steroids, and then kind of a little bit of a lull, and then, you know, it's growing again, and now that lull is going back down big time. It's on very, very fragile footing. So if they have a repeat of 94,
mm-hmm.
I mean, short of more steroids becoming legal or something and people hitting 79 home runs on average, they're going to lose fans for good. It's going to be tough coming back.
We'll see what happens. You know, around here, Astros ain't going anywhere, so that's where we're at. When's the last time you fell for some fake news? Has it been a while?
Almost. I almost did yesterday.
Okay, what kind?
It was a tweet that was and I always double check this.
Oh, was it the Lane Kiffin, Oklahoma?
Yes.
The fake Bruce Feldman with three followers?
It looked pretty good, though.
Yeah, Barstool College Football got caught by that. They got got.
They did?
Yeah, they got got.
I almost did, but I always look for the check mark, and I didn't see that, so I clicked on it, and I'm like, no. It looked really legit.
Yeah, it was the picture of Bruce Feldman, and he got a pretty good name that was close to it, but it is the season of fake news. Yesterday, Carton and Roberts, WFAN, it was the final day that players were signing. Evan Roberts fell for maybe the worst display of fake news that I've ever heard on the radio. And you know Craig Carton was going to kick him in the balls when he did this.
Breaking news. I can no longer make Freddy Galvis jokes about you guys signing him, New York Yankees. Freddy Galvis is signing with the Fukaka SoftBank Hawks.
No, come on.
Oh, wait.
It can't be the Fukaka SoftBank Hawks.
It's a fake Twitter account. I fell for it. My bad.
Oh, come on, man. How did you not know that was fake?
I don't know.
Fukaka Bangkoks?
Excuses, Greg.
And the word soft is in there? And you didn't recognize that was a joke?
I picked up on it quickly. No.
The Fukaka Soft Bangkoks? You just assumed was a Chinese or Japanese name?
So you know my excuse is?
No.
I didn't sleep last night.
Hey, Evan, breaking news. Yeah. The Soft Cocks signed Fukaka? Is that right?
I'm losing my mind. I'm so sorry.
He was right about no more Freddy Galvis jokes, though.
But you just read it on the air like you had news. And you read it like you knew who the soft cocks were. Yeah. What's the full name of that team now, Ev?
I lost it.
The Fukaka Soft Cocks?
The Fukaka Soft Bank or something.
Yeah, you got to get some rest, buddy.
All right. It's happened to all of us before.
It has, but it's...
Not like that.
How does something like that happen in this day and age? I'm always checking check marks and a double and you know an extra tweet or something and
people trying to get you.
Or I go to Figgy. Hey Figgy, can you check this out?
It is Throwback Thursday, so I want to remember times when Sports Radio 610 hosts have fallen victim to fake news. I was actually working with Meltzer and Seth, and Hugh Freeze, I guess, had just been fired at Ole Miss, and old Mike Meltzer, old buttoned-up lawyer, attorney, Mad Dog Radio Mike Meltzer, he didn't fall for soft cocks, but he did fall for some fake news.
I am going to read for you guys right now Hugh Freeze's statement after resigning as the head coach of Ole Miss. First and foremost, I would like to thank Ole Miss for the opportunity. For a guy with little on-field coaching experience to get to coach at one of the better football schools in Mississippi, I'd also like to thank my Lord and Savior. Without him, none of this would be possible. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us not to be surprised by fiery trials. I think Peter Sr. was talking about things like NCAA investigations, errant phone calls, and actually getting fired not going to literal courtroom trials. I have no recollection of the incident. It was clearly a pocket dial. There is nothing else to say about that. I anxiously await an opportunity to prove my innocence relative to this Hugh Freeze.
The writing seems to be on the wall. Is there any wiggle room here?
Hold on. Did I read fake news?
Yes, you did, Mike. Yes, you absolutely did. It'll get you. It'll get you. Landry Locker, Lopez, Jim Mudd in for Figgy Fig. The culture flu is lurking at NRG, but have no fear. The Texans are back on the practice field. Plus, Justin Verlander, not an Astro just yet, and Notre Dame makes their decision on who's going to replace Brian Kelly. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Brought to you by workformetro.org. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Texans have an illness. The culture flu is lurking on Kirby. Not the Rona, but there is an illness.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the guys who were ill yesterday. Cole Toner, David Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley.
So what do they have in common?
These are culture guys.
Yeah.
It's a culture flu.
I wonder where they met to all get it at the same time.
Like, is it a rule? Like, is this an NFL precaution or something? Like, where it doesn't seem like four guys being sick is something that would normally cancel a practice.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I think any other year, except the last two, people would be like, oh, he's sick. Maybe he can play. Maybe not. We'll see. I'm still going to meetings and stuff. I mean, you know, you can be sick and not say anything even. But in this case, when you're getting tested all the time, they're not going to mess around.
Seems a little bit strange. They are back at practice, though. Lovie Smith, the coordinators, met with the media today. I guess it was Garrett Wallow Day. Frank Ross, the special teams coordinator, said something about Garrett Wallow. And then I just saw an AK-47 mm-hmm. of, like, Garrett Wallow stories.
Well, he has been.
Garrett Wallow stories?
To be fair.
What are we doing?
To be fair.
And special teams.
I came across this yesterday afternoon. He's been grading much better on special teams.
Who cares?
No, not a lot of people really, but.
There was like eight stories there of Garrett Wallow.
Trying to be fair.
I like
what
Wallow.
Else are you going to talk about?
I don't know. The culture flu?
Right about.
The culture flu?
Yeah. Who's patient zero?
No idea. What does that mean?
No idea.
What is patient
where it
zero
started.
Mean?
Where the Texans culture flu started.
David Johnson.
No, I don't think so. Keep in mind, you got a running back, a couple of receivers, right? They're not always in the, they're very rarely in the same room unless that's, you know.
Well, they have offensive meetings.
They could have offensive meetings. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said.
They're in the same room a lot.
But they have a receiver room and a running back room and all that stuff. But they'll have the all-together offense.
What is patient zero the term for who spread it, like a super spreader?
Yeah, like the monkey in that movie with Dustin Hoffman.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, Outbreak.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, that was patient zero was a monkey.
Never heard of it.
This one might be not a monkey.
Does it travel well with time?
Yes, you would love it. You should get some downtime. Go watch it.
Have you seen House of Gucci yet?
I want to see that so bad.
Sean said it was too long. I disagree. It was 2.5 hours, but I think that they...
I'm a big Lady Gaga fan.
I don't think there was any dead weight there. Yeah. Jared Leto, I'm worried about him.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Some people are way too good at being nut jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he is way too good at playing a nut job. It's like the Heath Ledger Batman thing.
He's been typecast.
He's too good at
Who's
doing
Who's crazy
it.
That can play a crazy guy? Well, let's do Jared Leto.
And he's really good at it. Like at an insane level.
And Lady Gaga, I even watched the thing the other night that they had on CBS after the games with Tony Bennett.
What makes
Bennett?
You like Lady Gaga so much?
She's awesome. She's just awesome.
She just sings good?
Yeah. She can sing. She can act. She's a great personality. I love Lady Gaga. Now, she didn't make my top five on Spotify, but she would have been close.
What was your top five on Spotify?
Well, I got the top three because the other two, I share the account with my wife, and the other two were clearly hers.
Mm-hmm.
But my top three were Michael Jackson.
Okay, wow.
The Rolling Stones.
Move on.
No. Michael Jackson, the Rolling Stones, and Christina Aguilera.
I don't get the Christina Aguilera thing.
I love her to pieces. I just love her to pieces.
I had a back-to-back winner.
Who's that?
Young Dolph, second straight year. Not didn't just start when he died. Young Dolph, number one again. Number two again. Gucci Mane.
You impressed me the other day when he passed. I didn't know you were a big Young Dolph fan.
No, yeah, he's my guy. He's from the Gucci Mane pipeline.
But how much you knew?
Big Tuck, number three. 50 Cent.
50.
And then Big Walk Dog. I'm kind of done with Big Walk Dog, but that's another like Gucci tree. But yeah, Young Dolph, back-to-back champs.
And the Michael Jackson one, as much as I love him,
yeah.
When I get on the treadmill, my first song is always Man in the Mirror. So it's literally...
Does that make you want to work out?
It's a good warm-up song.
Do you have a mirror in front of you at the gym? Because a lot of times there
ironically,
are mirrors.
Yes.
See? So that makes sense.
Ironically, yes. Because think about man in the mirror.
Yeah.
It kind of builds up, you know? So like as I'm
builds up to what?
Like to the pace of the song.
To like a full walk?
To like my jog.
I feel like that would be a walk to the gym song, Man in the Mirror.
No. It's a good warm-up song. So it's kind of, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, but that is a little bit biased because I listen to it at least three or four times a week. Just as my warm-up song, Man in the Mirror. But Christina, come on. You know me and Christina. We go way back.
I don't get it. She's all right.
I wish I could.
She's okay. Justin Reed, back on the practice field. This was David Culley yesterday, basically saying, nothing to see here.
It wasn't a meeting. We just said we're back business as usual. We're ready to go. He served his time, and we're moving on.
All right, so there we go. That's where we're at. Justin Reed going to be back on the practice field. Week 13 begins tonight. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Dallas Cowboys at New Orleans Saints. Taysom Hill getting the start for the Saints. No Mike McCarthy for the Cowboys. He's got the Rona. Amari Cooper, after missing two games, expected to return for the Cowboys. This is a lot of intrigue. Cowboys, by the way, their Thanksgiving game, the most watched event since the Super Bowl. I think the most watched NFL game in like a decade or something like that, regular season. They always bring the ratings. Good way to start. I'm sure the TV network is thrilled that the Dallas Cowboys versus the New Orleans Saints is how Week 13 gets kicked off.
I'm not thrilled that for the fourth straight week, as of this morning, Alvin Kamara is not going to be playing. So, no Kamara.
Boy, yep. It has been a rough year for fantasy owners.
Rough.
I might have to adjust next year. McCaffrey.
Don't draft Derrick Henry. I've already told you that.
Well, he was carrying teams, though.
He won me a championship last year.
McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Kamara.
Henry.
Yeah. It's just been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Chubb missed some time. Might have to just adjust to those receivers.
D-Hop.
Yeah, when was D-Hop going, though? Second round? Third?
Yeah, he's a second rounder, isn't he? Is he one of the first receivers taken?
One of them.
Yeah.
Man, that's just tough, man. There's nothing more heartbreaking during a football season than that first pick just not being able to stay in the lineup. It'll be interesting to see as we get nerdy and look ahead when Christian McCaffrey goes next year. Because, I mean, is it a fool me once, fool me twice thing? Yeah. Selected number one 2 years ago, misses a lot of time. Number one this year in a lot of drafts, misses a lot of time. Tough world out there. Hard out here. Jonathan Taylor, though, if you got him, I think you're pleased.
Yeah.
And you'll get to see him and hear him Sunday right here on Sports Radio 610. MLB is in a lockout. The owners vote unanimously to institute a lockout. It's expected. It actually did begin today. They're taking players' pictures off of the website. They're doing all types of stuff like that. Rob Manfred's talking about how necessary it is. Players Union has released a statement saying that this was the owner's idea, not theirs, blah, 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 blah. Talk to me in April.
Yeah, I totally agree. We've touched on this a little bit, but the whole website stuff is just bizarre. And this, I can't relate to this because we talked about 94 and the lockout. There wasn't really a lot of traction with Twitter. Well, Twitter didn't exist, but with the websites and all that stuff. But to not... It's like Pravda. It's like Soviet Russia. They're just like not acknowledging that anything exists while you're in this negotiation. It's ridiculous.
Carlos Correa, per Mark Berman, was offered a 5-year, $160 million deal by the Astros last month. He also said, he being Berman, that the Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs, and Braves have been in contact with Correa's representation.
I would be most interested to see him as a Yankee, given the cheating scandal and the Jeter comments. I'm not so sure if the Astros are still in play. They've all said their goodbyes, and yet we still see these reports. Braves would be terrifying. Braves would be absolutely terrifying for all of baseball with their pretty young squad, good contracts, and have him as well.
Maybe it's a legal thing with the whole likeness. It's just kind of whatever.
Yeah.
That whole thing just kind of puts me off. Justin Verlander, the $50 million 2-year deal that we thought that Verlander was getting, it's not official yet. So it is up in limbo per John Heyman. I don't know if this is going to be enough. I don't know if it's medical. I know Michael Schwab said, you know, could it be medical earlier in the show when we said it. You got to think that it's a done deal. They're not gonna at least mention it. But up in limbo is what John Heyman said.
I think sometimes these contracts are just not quite done. A lot of you know, sort of grit to get through before you can actually sign everything off. I think that's all it is. And once the lockout ends, he'll sign.
College football news. This is an interesting story. So Sooners cornerback coach Roy Manning. He's still at Oklahoma and still on staff right now. Lincoln Riley has brought some Oklahoma assistants to USC right now, but Roy Manning is still an employee at Oklahoma. And according to multiple reports, Jason Kersey is one of the guys that I first saw with it. He's an Oklahoma Sooners football writer for The Athletic. Apparently, Roy Manning is recruiting kids on Oklahoma recruiting trips to go to USC.
Yeah.
There was a prospect who came out and mentioned Roy Manning by name as a guy trying to get him to go to USC. Manning's still with the Oklahoma staff. Lincoln Riley hasn't brought him there yet. I would be careful going back to the football office if I were Roy Manning, because I think Bob Stoops might bite a hole in your ass.
I think you're right.
If you are doing this, what are your thoughts on a guy who's at Oklahoma recruiting guys to go to USC?
Unsurprised, but slime ball. And I'm talking about Lincoln Riley. This doesn't happen without Lincoln Riley's approval or encouragement. So the other interesting thing here, I think Brian Kelly is rightfully getting a lot of criticism and a lot of these stories that kind of reveal him for the not exactly the most, greatest person in the world. Are coming out. Why aren't these stories being written about Lincoln Riley more? He left under almost the exact same circumstances, almost the exact same time, and he's doing this, and everybody's like, oh, look at Brian Kelly. You know, he made Robert Saleh park cars and, this and that, and he didn't get any assistants to come with him, which, by the way, that is pretty revealing. He doesn't have any of his own assistants going to LSU with him, at least not yet. And yet Lincoln Riley's doing all this stuff.
But aren't they technically all getting promotions because they are going to hire their defensive coordinator, yeah, Marcus Freeman is so going. The guys who stay are kind of getting like promotions almost.
Yeah, but I mean, there's money in LSU at LSU too.
Maybe it's because Lincoln clearly took a better job.
Yeah.
Like, is LSU really that LSU, much of a better
but
job?
But LSU is still an elite job.
I saw Accurate Money that I guess Brian Kelly was making $7 million at Notre Dame.
Right.
Because someone said, the spot rack guy on Twitter said 2.7. No, and I was like, dude, you're out of your effing mind.
Do you know how much money Lou Holtz made at Notre Dame when he was winning national championships and contending every year officially?
No idea.
$200,000. Because officially, the private institution, that's what they had to release. But he was making almost $3 million from donors and supporters and such. So, yeah, the $7 million is accurate.
Sean's trying to talk himself into this, I believe. This Marcus Freeman hire. Come on, man.
Well, Sean knows more than we do about Notre Dame football.
I feel like he's talking himself into this one.
This ties in with whether he's talking himself into it or not. There's just not a lot of good candidates out there. There's just not a lot. There's no home run. They wouldn't have hired Marcus Freeman if, let's say, I don't know, Jimbo or your Saban or somebody or, Dabo was available. They would have hired one of those guys.
See, I think it might be different because I think it might be a situation at Notre Dame where I think going to USC from Oklahoma, while it is an ego blow to the Sooners, like, you can understand. Like, the dude's looking at the Pacific Ocean in, like, a $6 million house now.
Yeah.
And he's in SC. But, like, when Brian Kelly says, screw you, I'm going to LSU, which many call a, quote, lateral move when you ignore money.
Yeah.
Can you really, like, make a home run hire? Like, are you really, like, how big of a deal is Notre Dame? The job, I think it's a good job. I'm not questioning it, but I'm saying, like, isn't your ability to swing for the fences, doesn't it kind of take a hit whenever Brian Kelly leaves for LSU?
I think maybe in some circles, but I disagree. I think Notre Dame.
Like, what could they do? What do you think Notre Dame could do? Could they get something? Like, who could they get to leave?
That's what I'm saying. There's not a lot available. I think that's the big problem. I think
Well, we didn't think Brian Kelly was available.
Well, that's true. Well, then Dabo.
Dabo's not going to Notre Dame.
I disagree. I think Notre Dame is is either the or one of the top three jobs on the planet in college football. It just is. And Sean knows this. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I always give him a hard time. I hate Notre Dame. I'm just telling you the truth here. I think it's top three, maybe top one job in America.
I think the premier college jobs are the best, but if Notre Dame's not given the $15 million like LSU is, then what exactly is their stand? Like there used to be a time where it was like, oh, Mike Tomlin, Notre Dame. Like, oh, this head coach in the NFL, Notre Dame. Like, is this like humbling to where they're bringing this guy in?
I think some people have been humbled as Irish fans. I absolutely do. Just like Oklahoma. Their ego has taken a hit, man. And they've been knocked down some pegs. I think Notre Dame has. But that's a separate question from what is the best or one of the best jobs in America. Notre Dame is still it. I just don't think there's a lot of candidates that are that like that home run, I'm interested, let's go, you know?
Yeah, because I think if you look at the top candidates, I think maybe in their mind they could do better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lane Kiffin thinks he's going to get like that $13, $14 million.
And then money comes in. I think money was had to be the biggest reason for Brian Kelly leaving, unless there's something going on behind the scenes that he doesn't know about. I think that's the biggest reason that Lincoln Riley left. I think he's kind of ahead of the posse at Oklahoma.
They've done a pretty good job of keeping it like kind of under wraps.
He's losing quarterbacks. He's losing confidence of players. I think a growing segment of fans are kind of getting tired of Lincoln Riley, so he's like a kind of ahead of the posse moving to USC.
Notre Dame still has an outside shot at the playoff too, is what they're saying.
Except they also said they take into account the head coaching situation.
Which, do you think that's fair?
No, but I'm not surprised either.
That seems a little bit, a little bit harsh.
Yeah, it is a little harsh. It's a lot of harsh.
That seems a little bit harsh. What do you think happens if Oklahoma State wins and Cincinnati wins?
I still have a hard time seeing Cincinnati getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just do. It's unfair.
I don't think so. I think it's fair.
You do?
Yeah, I'm not worried about Cincinnati. The hell are they going to do? Get a t-shirt, cut down the nets like a school going to the tournament, and then get jumped on like a trampoline by Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for Cincinnati.
Yeah,
you get a scholarship to Ohio State if you want to be in the playoffs.
It'll be good.
Yeah, go get you a scholarship. Michigan's right down the street, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Feel sorry for you guys. Hell out of here with that.
Hey, did you see this? And I'm mentioning only because we've been talking Texans all day, and we haven't mentioned. And strike, they can't keep Lance McCullers from being on our pregame show. He's going to be the Texans hometown guy.
Yeah, he's the Texans hometown guy. He's going to be on with Sean and Seth on Sunday.
How about that?
Yes, he is, and I'm sure they're asking.
Are they? I was just going to say, they will.
They will.
Yeah,
for sure. He'll answer it. So, Lance is a pro.
About the lockout,
Lance is a pro.
He is.
He'll be up there. You'll hear him Sunday morning. Pregame gets started at 9 with Sean and Seth, and you got the call with Vandy, Andre, and John Harris, followed by the postgame with Clint Sterner and Sean Pendergast. Coming up Sunday, it's going to be a haunting experience for many Texans fans because of one round a year ago. We'll get into it next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.